Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Our next guest has seen and experienced enough for several lifetimes. Born in 1950s England, Brixton Key came of age during the rise of the rock and roll revolution. It was at boarding school that he discovered Ginsberg's poetry and the music of the Rolling Stones, which helped push him toward a respected career at the rock magazine Melody Maker under the name Mark Plummer. By the 1980s, he was managing musician Chris Isaak in the U.S. He survived a pair of brain aneurysms and drug addiction, and finally turned his sights on fiction. His debut novel is Charlie Six, a coming-of-age story featuring a title character who's part Oliver Twist, part Holden Caulfield, part Alex DeLarge, and, I suspect, part Brixton Key himself. The book is published by Poppy Noir. Brixton Key, welcome to the Roundtable.
Alex DeLarge, you've caught me there.
I'm referencing A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, geez. Yeah, wow. That's lovely. Thank you.
Do you think that's a fair summation of Charlie Six? Am I close?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think it's all as I mean, that Oliver Twist is a tremendous influence on me. And I kind of, you know, it's funny. One of the big reasons I got into modern music, I think, although I was kind of primed for it, was that first Bob Dylan cover. Man, he looked like Oliver Twist with the big fur coat and the cap on and the angelic face, you know, and you put that record on, it's like, man, this is Oliver Twist is playing blues music. It was kind of a stunning thing, I think, very stunning. And then, of course, a few months later, you hear John Lennon, and you're like, oh, man. The whole world has opened up into something else here, you know.
When did you start to see yourself as someone who could write about that scene as opposed to someone just experiencing it and appreciating it?
That's sort of a difficult question, but I always wrote. I was writing little stories when I was like probably 4 years old. I wrote all through school. But after I was expelled from school for reading Ginsberg's Howl, I really didn't know what to do with myself. I was 15, and I got a little factory job that lasted a day or two, kind of did a bunch of kind of naughty stuff. And by absolute luck, I landed in Melody Maker. A friend of mine had shown me an advert, so I sent him a letter, and they hired me. Which was, you know, it was an awful lot of fun, but boy, what a big move! I mean, you know, you look at an article, and it looks pretty easy to write until you have to do your first article, man. You know, I was lucky. The first interview I did was with Status Quo, and they were just really, really, really helpful guys. They knew what they were doing. They were a little bit famous, you know. And the next day, I interviewed Peter Townsend.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty easy because I kind of knew him from hanging around in London. And, you know, it's pretty obvious what to ask him. And I mean, he's a guy who just can talk a mile a minute. You don't really have to work. But the writing was difficult. It was really quite a shock. And we used to have to write like 15,000. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but, you know, around 15,000 words a week there. So you get your chops down very fast. Very exciting time, actually.
And how old were you?
I was just turned 18.
Yeah.
Which was actually, you know, you can really see the difference in this day and that day. I joined them. I was 18. Ray Coleman invited me to join the paper. And it wasn't until... Oh, about a week later, they suddenly realized I was 18. And in those days, you had to be 21 to be a senior reporter, which they had hired me as. And I was called into the editor's office, and he said, "Oh, you know, we're really sorry, but we just discovered you're 18. And what we would like to do is we'd like you to be a messenger boy for 3 years." And I said, "No way, man. I've got a contract here, you know." And everything worked out, you know.
Do you think you, like Charlie Six, grew up sort of quickly, like you had to grow up in a hurry?
Well, yeah, because my father left home when I was seven. He was a sort of a bad man. I was 7 or 8. He left home. And really, my mom now expected me to be the man of the house. So I was kind of mending stuff. I was on my own a lot when I was home from boarding school. Different times, different place. I grew up really fast. I was out and about in nightclubs when I was 12 years old, watching bands, hanging out, staying out all night. I grew up real fast in those days, real fast.
What was England like at that time?
Grey and horrid. It was grey and horrid, man. I mean, it seemed that once there was a terrible, terrible winter, 1962 till 62-63 winter. It was the big freeze. It was absolutely freezing cold. And in a way, you know, it was rather like there was this white canvas put across England, and suddenly there were all these bands writing on it. And it kind of came into Technicolor pretty fast. But it was awful when I was younger. I mean, England won the war, but it was rather hard to know that. Sweets would get rationed. I mean, things would disappear off the shelves because the country had no money. There were no real teenagers until the generation after the Beatles.
As you've had to re-enter that world in writing this book, are you fond of those days looking back? I mean, was it tough for you at all to explore that?
No, not really, because actually they were tremendous fun. I mean, something new was happening really, it seemed like every day. I mean, in truth, it's every week, you know, but there was new records, new music, new clothes, new people to discover. And it was a very small scene in London when I was a teenager. I mean, you would see the Small Faces one night, you'd see The Who another night, see Georgie Fame, numerous bands. And it seemed like it was about the same 1,000 people who were going everywhere. It was really very interesting because that kind of, it was sort of like having Facebook, but on the streets, you know? You'd see a friend and they'd say, oh, you're going to go see the Animals tonight. And you'd say, who are the Animals? Oh, man, they're from Newcastle. They're appearing at the Marquee this evening. Of course, you were there, you know?
Mm. What led you to leave?
I got in a lot of problems. I had problems with the drug squad. I had problems with the money people. And I had problems with a sort of a Nigerian gang that were a little bit angry with me. So I had been to America on numerous occasions. I had a lot of contacts here. And I just took off one day. I wasn't a melody maker at that time. I had got into management and promotion, but I had a lot of bad stuff going on. So I took the easy way out and came to America.
When you're going through stuff like that, at what point do you start thinking about what it could mean for your fiction?
Well, at that time, of course, I wasn't really a writer. And when I started this book, it was sort of one of those kind of flashing revelation things. I was writing a short story that was really going nowhere, but there were 6 children involved, and the last kid was Charlie Six. And when I wrote that name, his nickname, that's what his mom called him, Charlie Six, I had Rosie, the mother. She was the mother of these children. It was just, wow, Charlie Six. It sounds like a kind of a name that a pop singer could have had in England. And I suddenly realized this. I had my character to write about, you know.
Do you see him as a younger version of you, or is there space between there?
Well, I see him as sort of like one of my friends when I was growing up. Lots of my friends got into music, got into art, got into film. We were kind of a strange arty group. I mean, we had a couple of, you know, typical English kind of thug friends, But my little group were all very arty people. And Charlie Six just seemed like he was kind of like a friend I was writing about, you know. And I stole stories, I know, from a lot of people out of my own life, from pals of mine. One of my pals rang me up and he said, "Man, where's my royalty check?" I mean, he said, "Wow, this is just like reading about us growing up. It's, you know, it really is our story." And I think it is the story of a lot of kids in London.
Compared to your time doing rock journalism and music journalism, how is the process of writing fiction? I mean, did this come easy to you? Did it come all out in bursts? Was there more or less kind of reporting that you had to do?
Well, the reporting is I suppose, somewhat easier because you have a story. Where with fiction, you just have a blank piece of paper. But it's a discipline. It's like anything. You sit and you work a lot. You write a lot, you work a lot, and you discard a lot. I mean, I sort of feel like Keith Richards says, you know, if you keep playing the guitar, a riff's going to come to you. And if you keep writing, a great line is going to come to you. The big thing is the editing, I think. You know, you read these stories of people writing a book in a month, and then you go back, like Kerouac on the Road. I mean, if you actually go back and you truly look at the real story of that, that took him 4 years, man. It was 4 years of tremendous hard work with a great burst of energy to rewrite the whole thing in the end. And I thought, Hal, you know, when you read Hal, it seems so snappy. I mean, it just moves. Bingo, bingo, bingo. It moves so fast. And a friend of mine was a very good friend with Ginsberg. And he told me, man, he was working on that for months. Absolutely months. Cutting and editing and redoing. And I think that's the trick. I mean, that is what writing's about, is just redoing and redoing until you get it right. The stories come easy. I'm kind of a natural storyteller, but the actual writing is just really a discipline.
You're working on the sequel to this now, I understand. What did you learn from the process of the first book, and where do you see Charlie's character going?
You know, his Uncle Morris, the main character, his sort of apparent figure, is very sick. And Charlie really has to come in and sort of save the business so his mom keeps, you know, so his mom can keep her standard of life up. So he is going to have to get into, you know, into the underground in a big way to save the family. Which is kind of fun because I love gangster stuff. It's always intrigued me, gangsters. I think because I grew up in that sort of, I grew up around it, you know. And when I see like Boardwalk Empire, Sopranos, they're so close, but they're a little bit glamorous compared to the sort of dirty side. Which I think Charlie kind of shows how it's kind of boring and dirty and. Everyone's in your pocket, you know. So in this one, it's definitely going to be a little bit more gangstery. And he's in America. He's got to America, which is really exciting because, you know, America is where he wants to be throughout the whole book. And I'm going to have him coming up to San Francisco because, you know, the West Coast is happening and I want him right in the sort of modern hippie scene. So it's going to be fun.
The name of the book is Charlie Six, a novel. We've been speaking with the author, Brixton Key. The book is published by Poppy Noir. And Brixton, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the roundtable today discussing your life and this book. And we'll look forward to reading the next one.
Okay, lovely. Thank you. You have lots of fun out there, huh?
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.